is hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45 with an MLB playoff update. At 2:30, check that, 2:25. Having to move some things around because of wedding photos. We'll certainly get that story from Sam Panayotovich as he gets you D-gens ready for the football gambling weekend. And in mere minutes, why does October 15th matter? Pussycats. I'm Trey Elling. Isaiah Collier is behind the glass. And sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
My God. Wow. It's a lot going on. So we start hour three. So let me get this straight. Let me understand what's going on here. You're telling me that every week we have agreed to have a degenerate on at 2:05 who lives and breathes lines and games and all that. But said degenerate has got to move his time, which we certainly understand this has to happen, things to do, podcasts to record, hits to do. Guys, they hit me up on a national show. What was I going to do? Totally get it. You're telling me he can't do the show right now because he's in a wedding and they're doing pictures.
That's right. The wedding's tomorrow, but they're doing pictures right now. They're out in some random field with white horse fencing is how I'm going to describe that. It looks like they're in Illinois maybe because of the tree that I'm seeing off to the side there. But yeah, he's stuck doing pictures. He said he should be okay in 20 minutes though, so we're going to have to postpone this by a couple of dimes, and he is on the verge of killing himself on our tech stream right now. He's just so annoyed with the pictures that he's having to do.
Based on what he does, if this is a male friend, how could he possibly say yes to this? There are only three acceptable reasons to get married in football season. Listen very carefully to Uncle Chad on this one. If you like football, which we know he does. I'm assuming his friend likes football.
Oh, he's going to be furious. We'll ask him about this. He's going to be furious.
If you like football, if one of the two people likes football, there are only three reasons you should get married in football season.
I'm with you.
Birth, death, or military service. That's it. That's it.
You're going to feel really bad if his friend is like 6 months away from dying.
No, I'm not going to feel bad. That will be an acceptable reason.
Okay.
Certainly, impending death. Yes, obviously. That's a perfectly acceptable reason. Isaiah, thoughts?
Yeah, fellas, my party, the wedding, January 16th, big time playoff football. So we've been kind of contemplating if we should invite anybody here. What are you looking like this after this rant y'all just had?
Oh, what? I'm talking about regular season. Regular
playoffs.
Season. Well, we get to the playoffs. I'm not in the fantasy thing anymore. It's not as big of a deal.
All right, Trey, you get your invite.
Boom.
But with the way Chad's looking, that might get lost in the mail.
Which playoff day are we talking about?
It's Sunday, January 16th.
Oh, yeah, with the NFL playoffs going on?
Yeah.
Stuff? You can save the postage on that. Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
What?
I respect that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Are you serious?
I respect that.
Record it.
Record what? His wedding?
No. Record the playoff games. Record the playoff games. Go watch them later.
The NFL playoff games?
The NFL playoff games.
Do you have birth, death, or military service involved?
I do not, but we have a couple TVs there.
There are a couple TVs. You get to hang out with Coach Collier and Isaiah's extended family.
There is a Coach Collier. How did Coach Collier allow this to happen during football season? Have we asked that question?
Well, I'll tell you why it's not happening on a Saturday. It's because there's probably some game film to break down.
And since he's the father of the groom, he doesn't have to pay for much, so he could care less.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah, because at that point, he goes, "Yeah, I show up at 3 in the morning. I don't even care." Yeah, no, I got you.
Zay, here's how serious I am about if you'll have me attending your wedding celebration.
Here we go.
I got married on Saturday, January 12th. And there were playoff games going on during the wedding and then
that's
also
true.
Our reception.
Yeah, that's so. Right. Yeah, you could do it. Nobody should listen to me. That's fine. All right, so Isaiah getting married in January. Sammy P's boy or girl getting married tomorrow. Here's the other thing.
I texted him that we're having fun with this right now. He's like, good. He is so ticked off right now.
Why the day before pictures?
You just called.
There's the other level. Now, wait a second.
Organized chaos.
You're going to get these people all in tuxes and dresses the day before for pictures? I understand getting together for rehearsal dinners and stuff like that. you're going to make me do the pictures the day before.
Isn't that part of the rehearsal dinner process, is the actual rehearsal?
Well, the rehearsal, yeah, but not pictures. You don't take pictures.
I've always done... No, did we take pictures beforehand?
The day before?
No, you're right about that. Pictures.
That's not how they're doing that now, are they, Isaiah? I'm an old man. I don't know. I haven't been married in a while, obviously.
Nah, we're taking pictures day of.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, some people like to do...
Maybe the wedding's tonight. Maybe that's part of what I'm missing here.
Some people like to do that before ceremony picture thing to get it out of the way so everybody's not waiting as much at the end. There's different ways to mess with it, but not doing it day of, that's kind of crazy.
I'm guessing this is a Friday night wedding, which is almost worse. If you're going to do it during football season.
Yeah, that tells me they may actually be getting married in a couple hours.
Because at that point, you're forcing somebody to probably take a couple days vacation.
Yeah,
a Thursday and Friday to travel to a wedding.
All right, we'll talk to Sammy P coming up, betting analyst for Nesson. So did I see this message you sent me, right, that Presbyterian went under last week?
They didn't cover, but it started, Sam told us, it started at like 91. And they fell under it. So we'll have to find out from him why that happened.
Wow. That's crazy, dude. I didn't realize. They went under the 91. Yeah, I'll try to pull that game up.
He did tell us that he was close to not taking the over this last week. So it'll be interesting to see if he did.
That was silly. Yeah, that was absolutely crazy that it ended up at 91 points. So we'll get Sammy P's thoughts on things coming up about 2:25. That means we'll rearrange. Can we do a little Why Today Matters right now, October 15th?
Why Today Matters, brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
God's the best one because it sounds like he's got sinus problems. It's just so perfect. All right, Trey, what do we need to let people know about on this October 15th?
It's actually technically the 16th, Chad.
Okay.
It's Global Cat Day, so we got to celebrate cats.
I saw that.
And
absolutely.
I realize that cats are a very polarizing creature on this planet.
Yeah, they are.
Far too many people want to commit acts of violence on cats. And look, I understand. Cats are independent creatures, and you have an issue with that. Dog owner / dog lover, you like to have absolute control over the animals around you. But that's one of the reasons to respect cats. Cats, given the option of sticking around with some hobo under the overpass at Burnett and 183, or going off on its own because it will take better care of itself, will go off on its own because it realizes that that transient that's trying to keep the cat in its possession will not be able to handle things properly. Clearly, they are not living in a house. They are living under a highway. Unfortunately, it is the dog who is loyal to the next hand that feeds it, and it thinks that that bum is actually the best thing for it in that moment because it did provide it some food scraps very recently. So respect the cats, and I respect the cat people too. Cat people, got to be a little bit better about not acquiring too many cats, though, because then things do get weird.
One of my favorite things about dogs and cats is that most of the time it feels like people can't give one love without ripping the other. Like it's impossible to have equal feelings. There has to be one army on one side, one army on the other. I've been around plenty of cool cats in my life. Overall, I'm probably more of a dog person, but I dig cats, man, especially the big ones. Big cats, lions, tigers, that whole thing. But when you're around a really cool cat, I think it's great. Thanks to the cat. If I haven't thanked him lately, thanks to that orange cat who keeps the mice around my house under control.
Big deal.
Who keeps the snakes around my house under control. I don't know your name, but Big Orange, whoever you are, thank you. Appreciate you.
Now, when I said all of that about cats, I just want to be clear. I was only talking about male cats. Female cats can all pretty much die.
Wait a minute. That's not going to help anything because then the cats are going to be gone forever.
And by the way, we own a couple of dogs. We have fostered multiple dogs in Justine and my collective life. So we are more dog people, I guess, in that regard. I'm allergic to cats, Chad.
But I
do like a good cat. You're right. A good cat is a phenomenal creature.
Oh, they're awesome.
And our good friend Kevin Dunn had two of the best cats that I've ever known.
Yeah.
Stewie and TJ.
They were awesome cats. Unbelievable cats to be around. Love a good cat. So, yes, World Cat Day is tomorrow. So celebrate your cats. Sports gets its own day tomorrow, which I love.
Sports.
Sports is every day.
Uh-huh. National Sports Day.
National Sports Day. All right. Clearly created by someone who doesn't really, you know, pay attention to a lot of sports, I guess.
National Mushroom Day. Where are you with the mushroom? Zay, I want your thoughts on this one, too.
Oh, I like mushrooms. My wife's a big fan of pizza with mushrooms. I'll do it that way. Throw some mushrooms into my spaghetti sauce. I could do some mushrooms, fried mushrooms, if I'm feeling particularly gross.
Fried mushroom is an underrated fare at a bar-style restaurant that does really good fried food.
Fried, yeah. I like fried mushrooms and fried pickles are two things that my wife's a big fan of that I'll share with her sometimes. Not really my thing. I'm not thinking of it first, but I'll go along.
The fried pickle definitely gets dipped in ranch. Do you dip the fried mushroom in ranch?
Heck yeah. Absolutely.
Zay, mushrooms?
Can't stand them.
Really? Mm,
big conflict in our household. Huge.
Your wife's a fan?
Oh, she loves them. And when she's trying to make something that she likes or something like that for dinner, I always have to put a halt to that. Yeah.
Could she have, does she get mushrooms on her half of the pizza? Will you allow that? And then your half is whatever.
Yeah, usually.
Or is it too close?
I guess I'm not eating pizza that night.
Oh, okay.
It's one of those. I can't stand mushrooms.
Does the smell get after you a little bit?
It's just everything about it seems slimy and, the texture. Okay. I'm a big texture guy.
You got to be careful when you're cooking mushrooms. You're right. They can get a bit slimy. Hey, just get ready for when you all have kids, if y'all decide to have kids, because then you get to add two little beings who have no filter about telling you what they like and don't like when it comes to trying to prepare dinner. It becomes an impossibility at that point. I am literally, at this point, making three completely different meals every night that I cook dinner. Because one kid doesn't like this vegetable. One kid doesn't like this protein. The other kid doesn't like this starch. Yada, yada, freaking yada. It's like, you guys are going to lose your desserts if you continue opting out of all these different delicious foods that I'm making for you.
Trey, there's nothing that our age group has failed on more as parents than allowing our kids to run the kitchen in the way you're talking about. Letting them pick their little food things. That's how we have failed our kids, and that's how we have failed as parents. I spent time last night in a line at McDonald's for one thing and one thing only, my kids' food. And then I went somewhere else, and I got my food and my wife's food. I can feel my granddad turning over in his grave as it happens. I can feel both my grandmothers judging me from their graves as it happens, and they're all right, all three of them. Even the granddad I never met, he probably rolls over in his grave, and he's right too. And I get home, and I hand her a stupid-ass Happy Meal. Sorry, McDonald's. It's not about you. But I hand her a stupid-ass Happy Meal and whatever I got her, and then my wife and I eat what we eat, and I'm a failure as a parent when it comes to food. Happens all the time. I hate it.
I've got some buddies that I play volleyball with, and a couple of them have young kids also, and they're like, my kid will only eat this. My kid will only eat hot dogs, or my kid will only eat grilled cheese sandwiches, or my kid will only eat pepperoni pizza. And it's like, at some point, because I do this in our household, even though my kids are like, I don't like this or I don't like this anymore, I will make small exceptions. But at the end of the day, it's like, I've made this food. You can choose not to eat this, but if you do choose not to eat this, understand you're not getting anything else, and you're going to be pretty hungry going to bed also.
Yep.
It only takes a couple of meals, sometimes a couple days worth of meals, for them to realize that they are starving themselves to death and they just need to go ahead and eat the delicious food that I've made for them.
See, that's where I need you to be. You need to train me up a little bit, because I give in way before you will. You can keep that toughness. That's what I need to learn. I don't do that well enough.
It's that usually gets the job done, but you can also, because parenting, especially with young kids, and I'm guessing with like Monkey, a kid who's on the older side now. She's 15?
15.
Yeah, 15 years old.
Parenting 15 years old eating a Happy Meal. Did I say that out loud?
Parenting is a, hey, you know what? Respect. Because those little burgers are good.
Tom wish it was a burger. She still thinks the McNuggets are good. The hell's going on?
Monkey, man? What are we doing?
I don't know, dude.
Anyhow, parenting is a constant negotiation. And yes, you need to acknowledge your kids' feelings with things, but you also have to understand situations where you have the leverage. And with dinner, with meals, you have the leverage. Not just with the meal itself. There are other things that they enjoy doing throughout the day that are treats. Some are explicit treats, like desserts after dinner. There is also things like screen time and TV shows and book reading and playing outside or going to a park. All these things are available. They're all at your disposal to utilize as you try and get your kid to understand the proper way to consume food.
Yeah, I'm just a bad parent. Just a bad parent. And you shone the light on it, and you're absolutely right. I need some training from you, brother. I don't even know. How do we get to that? Did I do that?
It started with pussycats.
Nah, that is probably, it did start with cats.
I'm telling you, it was an hour ago that I sent this show off the rails. It's my apologies.
How about a quick nod to a legendary sports movie? Tim Robbins will be 63 tomorrow. Nuke LaLoosh will hit the 63. Bull Durham. Come on now.
All-time great meathead character, right?
Absolutely. Like
we love to do the Mount Rushmores in the rankings. Who else is on that list of all-time great meatheads? Because Nuke is up there.
That's a good one, because the best meatheads have to be likable at the end of the day.
Yeah, they've got to have a bit of an earnestness about them where you're like, well, you're just an idiot.
It's that wonderful fool that things seem to go well for. The look on Crash Davis's face is the look on all of our faces. Like, how do you keep winning? How do you keep winning in life? And it frustrates you. But in a way, you're rooting. You don't want anything bad to happen to Nuke LaLoosh.
No.
You want him to make the show. That's what you want.
Who's the dingbat in Major League? There's a dingbat on that team. I'm not remembering who right now.
Wow. Who would be the dingbat in Major League? It's not Ricky Vaughn, is it? No.
He maybe has a little bit of that in him.
Maybe it's him if it's anybody. Because he's the... what. But the thought was not that Ricky Vaughn was going to the pros.
Because Behringer's the sage. Willie Mays Hayes is maybe a little bit of Willie Mays Hayes.
A little young attitude guy, yeah, but not quite the same way. Not the quite same way as Nuke. Because Willie Mays Hayes was aware of things.
Yeah.
Like Nuke LaLoosh was gone. It just gone. And the fact that I don't know who that would be. So happy birthday to Tim tomorrow. Speaking of baseball movies, happy birthday to Penny Marshall. She would have been 78 today, the late great Penny Marshall. She gave us League of Their Own, which we talked about this week.
And Big,
which is one of my favorite Tom Hanks movies. So shout out and RIP to Penny Marshall.
Hey, today's National Boss Day. Have a happy day, boss.
Oh, geez, I am no one's boss, but thank you very much. I am absolutely no one's boss. Yes, if you have a good boss, definitely tell them thank you today.
You're the program director here.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that you're at least like John Reichel's boss.
I'd like to think that, but I think I'm some people's supervisor. I don't know if I'm anybody's boss.
That's semantics here.
It's semantics,
right?
Yes. It's semantics.
Now, fortunately, what makes you a pretty good boss is you're not constantly trying to boss people around.
Ah, I appreciate that. Some would say that's why I'm a terrible boss, that I'm not trying to boss people around. So I appreciate you finding the good side of that, because, I am a grown man wearing a Whataburger shirt, and it's probably hard for some people to see that as the boss. Let's just be honest, right? If there's a grown man in your office wearing a Whataburger shirt, do you think the office is not Whataburger? Do you really consider that person a boss? Let's be honest.
You have more respect right now than when you're wearing that Macho Man Randy Savage shirt.
I do have the Macho shirt, yeah. I do have that. You're right. Fair enough. All right, so have we checked the wedding schedule yet?
Let's go to break here. I think Sammy P is going to be ready.
Sure? Can we get our betting expert to rip himself away from wedding photos to talk about the Presbyterian over-under, please? Up next, Sammy P, betting analyst from Nesson and host of the Chicken Dinner Podcast. Are they doing the Chicken Dinner Podcast this week? Or do we have to have the rehearsal dinner instead? This is The Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
I feel like I should know this. There it is. Boston? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
What's the song?
Something About You.
There it is. Something About You. I love finding out the stuff Isaiah likes that I wouldn't have expected. Like, there are people that go to Boston concerts through the years that don't react like that. You see that look on his face? I don't know if Boston makes Boston that happy. That's awesome.
Yeah. Too many guitars for me, Chad.
It's a lot of guitars. There's a lot of... like they are known for the harmonizing of voices. They harmonize everything.
Yeah,
there might be 8 or 9 versions of what you're hearing on stage, and they somehow weave it all together.
That's right.
They're incredible. They got layers. Boston has layers on its layers.
They just turn certain guys' instruments off, I think.
Is that what happens?
Song to song.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, this next guy lives in Boston.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Really? Is that where the wedding is?
We'll have to ask him. Based on the trees in the background, I'm guessing the wedding is in Illinois or maybe Wisconsin.
One phrase I never thought we would use with Sammy P is based on the trees in the background. Let's go to the Vaquero's Cafe Cantina hotline. We had to move Sammy P's segment for a wedding today. Sammy P, betting analyst for Nesson. He's host of the Chicken Dinner podcast at SP Shoot on Twitter. And apparently, he's in the wedding potty. Sammy, how are you?
I just watched a single-engine plane fly over an empty cornfield. So that should tell you everything you need to know about my Friday afternoon.
Oh, so you're in Iowa then.
No, I'm in the middle of DeKalb, Illinois, which is the home of the NIU Huskies. I don't know if they play this weekend. I'm off the grid here. I had a couple tequilas already, so I'm good to go. But you know how it is when you get to a wedding, there's no like plan when you're in the party for the guys, right? So some guy rolls up. We're sitting around shooting the breeze. Some guy rolls up out of a van with a camera and goes, all right, photo time. And everybody's like, okay. So that happened about 25 minutes ago. So had to do the deed, and now I'm done. I'm trying to get away. As long as you can't hear the music, they're playing like Sinatra right now. Hopefully you can't hear that.
No, you're good.
You should be good to go.
Yeah, we're good.
Wait a second. You guys are dressed up like the wedding is actually today. Is the wedding a little bit later on?
The wedding is in 2 hours, Trey.
Okay.
There we go. Okay.
They've got to stay in those suits for 2 hours plus the reception?
Sammy, that makes way more sense. I thought Trey was telling me that you were involved in a wedding where they were doing pictures the day before. I thought that was insane.
No, well, because of COVID, I mean, say what you want about COVID. We don't have to go there. But, like, all these weddings have been sort of rolled over. You know, all the weddings last summer that were, like, Friday, Saturday weddings have been pushed to this year. So
right.
I've actually been to a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday wedding in 2021. Wild times.
Yeah, that's true. They're stacking them up. You're right. Now, what you like to stack up is just money, nothing but, when it comes to Nesson, when it comes to the Chicken Dinner podcast. Let's just start with the most important thing. It's really sad news. Presbyterian went under last week?
Yeah, man, the total got up to 93.5. Like, people still bet it up. You know, we've talked about this on your show now for an entire month. Like, if you're going to bet the over on Presbyterian, bet it once it drops. And it opened 90, closed at 93.5. They only got to 68. 38-30, I think, was the final score. You'll have to excuse my math. I don't have my computer next to me. I don't even think we get Wi-Fi out here. But now Presbyterian will play Davidson, and this total opened at 78.5. We're at 79.5 right now.
Nice.
This is when it gets tough because, look, we've discussed this. Eventually, the books catch up, and they place a tax or a triple tax in this case because these Presbyterian totals open, you know, first couple totals open like 61, 68, and those games went 72, 106 or 107 or something like that. So what the books do is they're just going to over-adjust the hell out of these totals. So that's what happened. Eventually, they're like, all right, we're not going to lose on the over. So we're going to drag it up as high as we can. They moved it to 93 last week. The game goes under. So now the books are guessing. Like, because now if you make it 85, everybody's going to go under. If you make it 73, everybody's going to go over. So now the books are back to guessing. And I think still, like, anything 80 or lower is probably still a decent over. You know, we've made money on the overs. We did lose last time. But now the books are back to guessing, and that's a good spot for the bettors.
All right, Sam, we're going to stick mostly with your money picks this week just because we're a little bit short on time right now. But I did want to do a couple of things with the Texas Longhorns. One, I wanted to give you huge props for how you crushed the over on last week's game with Oklahoma. You said that was the smart play there. You were absolutely right about that. What do you make of this weekend's matchup for the Longhorns with Oklahoma State?
Well, Trey, I think you've learned about Texas this year. They're a team where you can sort of zigzag them pretty well. Nobody wanted to bet them against Louisiana in the first week, and they win by 20. Everybody wanted to bet them against Arkansas, and they lost. So it's sort of been a zigzaggy type season. Nobody wanted to bet them against TCU. They take care of business. They cover. Everybody wants to bet them against Oklahoma then. And sure, should the Longhorns have covered? Yes, it was a bad beat, but they still didn't cover. So knowing what we saw last week, and the public bettors saw the Longhorns blow the game against Oklahoma, lose 55-48. Guess where the money's at this week? it's back against Texas. So this number against the Cowboys opened up 5, 5.5, and the market has gone to the other side because the market just watched Texas lose, and they're talking about Texas' defense, yada, yada, yada. But I don't overreact to one sample size. You know, one game in a vacuum, Red River, anything goes. I like the Texas Longhorns this week because I think they're just a better football team. Line them up against Oklahoma State. They're going to win this game 7 times out of 10, I think. I think the number is too low, and I think the Horns win this game by a touchdown or more. I really like them in this spot.
Sammy, how about Alabama coming off the tough loss at College Station? -17, and they're going on the road again to Mississippi State. You like Bama?
Yeah, lay the 17 now, though, Chad, because by the time we get to kickoff tomorrow night, the public, as you can imagine, is going to bet Alabama. They're going to bet this up to 17.5, 18. So if the game lands 37-20 and you wait till kickoff, you're probably going to lose. Always get the right number. Nick Saban, last 5 losses at Alabama, the following 5 games have gone over easily, like easy covers for Alabama. We're talking like 11.5 point covers on the average.
Wow.
So when they lose, he busts out like the leather and the whip at practice. He just pounds these guys all week. And it's like, it's not a fun week of practice. So usually off a loss, they correct the mistakes and they roll teams. And here's the other thing. You guys know Mike Leach pretty well from his time in the Big 12. They don't run the football. If you can't run against Alabama, good luck throwing the ball 55, 60 times. This could be a blowout for the Tide.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that pick as well. How about Iowa as 11.5 point favorites over Purdue?
People just hate Iowa. I don't know what it is. You know, we bet Iowa, I think, 3 or 4 times a season. And look, I don't know that they're a great team, but that doesn't matter. Like, people keep telling me when you handicap Iowa, Purdue, well, Iowa's not that good. Well, okay, they can still beat Purdue. Purdue sucks. Like, stop using your feelings and you're like, you know, you lost a couple times betting against Iowa. Don't make it personal. Iowa laying under 2 touchdowns at home is a very good bet. Purdue's got some bodies banged up. A couple receivers aren't going to play that nobody knows about. They've got a quarterback controversy. And we've been told they might not have a linebacker or two. There are some COVID rumors around Purdue. Can Iowa beat Alabama? No. Can Iowa beat Purdue by 2-3 scores? Yes. Don't overthink it. Just because you hate Iowa or you've lost on Iowa, don't make it personal.
Talking with Sammy P., betting analyst for Nesson. Sammy, people in this region are trying to figure out this BYU-Baylor game. BYU getting 6.5 points despite the fact that they're the ranked team in the matchup. What do you think?
Yeah, gamblers don't care about rank. That's your lesson, right? And this number opened up Baylor -3, and I thought that was a pretty good number. Well, it's been pro money and Joe money. Sharps and squares all over Baylor here, but that has given us a little bit of extra value. If you like BYU, the number 6.5, and Satake, the head coach of the Cougars, last 10 times as a dog, they've covered 8 of those 10. He makes you money as an underdog. I think this is too big of an overreaction to last week's game. Well, remember, BYU actually outgained Boise State. They just turned it over 4 times. I imagine that regresses. I think BYU is live in this spot.
Okay. Switching to the NFL now, Sam, it looks like the Texas teams are in your crosshairs. Let's start with the Colts as 10-point favorites at home versus the Texans. Why do you like Indy here?
Well, the Texans played an A-minus game last week. I think we could all agree with that, right? A-minus, I'd give them, maybe even an A, and they still lose. How many games like that are they going to play this season? You know, if they took 17 tests, how many would they ace? 4, maybe? They're not a good football team, and that's because the roster is sort of in rebuilding mode. You know, you got a rookie quarterback, you've got a new head coach, all that type of stuff. It's just a bad spot. Now they hit the highway where they've been really blown out in the last couple of years. They haven't been good on the road, and they don't face a rookie quarterback in Mac Jones. They face a much better attack with a better offensive line and more offensive weapons. It's not a dog on the Texans. I think they played really good last week, but I'm just betting against it happening 2 weeks in a row. So I like the Colts here to win by 14 or more.
Sammy, when it comes to this Cowboys-Patriots game, as a Cowboys fan, I'm really hoping this thing is just about football, because if it turns out it's about Belichick and McCarthy, I think my Cowboys are in big trouble. Patriots, you got them here at +4. I'm seeing 3, 3.5. What do you think about this game? If you can, would you tell people if they can get the Patriots at that 4 spot to go?
Yeah, well, we took 4 a couple days ago. This game opened up, Chad. Dallas was -2.5 when it opened up on Sunday. Because these games, remember, they open up Sunday for the following week. So these markets are up for a whole week. It opened Dallas 2.5, and I'm like, man, I'd love more points. And then what happened? Everybody bet Dallas up to 4, and then we took 4. I think, yeah, like you said, now it's like 3, 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
I just think Belichick in this spot, he's been so good at home as a dog. He's made so many people a lot of money. Remember, the last three quarterbacks that have been very, very good in Foxborough, he's covered against Kyler Murray, Tom Brady, and Lamar Jackson. Two of those wins were outright, and you could argue they should have beat the Buccaneers outright earlier this year. Nick Folk misses that long field goal at the horn, so the Bucs prevail. But Dallas is 5-0 against the spread. They've covered every single freaking game this year. Why are they only a 3-point favorite at New England? Like, the books know something. Something is up here. What if Dallas wins 21-20 or 24-23? They're not going to cover the 3.5. Something tells me the Patriots are going to hang around here and lose by a field goal. Maybe they lose by a point. I don't know if they can win outright, but this line tells me everything I need to know. The Cowboys could lose this game very easily. It doesn't mean they're a bad football team. It's just something's up with this number. It doesn't make sense, and that makes me nervous.
All right, last question, Sam. I'm actually going to have you play odds maker on this question. What are the odds that this marriage, whose wedding you're attending in just a couple of hours,
wow,
lasts 20 years?
Whoa.
Oh, man, Noah's a huge favorite. Yeah. 20. Trey, have you seen the divorce rates around the country, Trey? I hear we're at like 49%. That's a bad number on your part. Good thing you're not taking Beth, because your book would be cooked.
Wow. All right, let's make it more interesting, Sammy P. 12.5. 12.5. 12.5.
I'd make the number 9.5, honestly.
9.5. Okay. 9.5. That's a good number. That's a good number, because 10 feels big. 10 feels like a full commitment.
Oh, that's great.
You sound like me? Hey, you guys are starting to sound like me, and that's scary.
That is awesome. Sammy P, ladies and gentlemen, betting analyst for Nesson. Check out the Chicken Dinner podcast at SP Shoot. And if you are on the right hey, if they go to at SP Shoot on Twitter, are you going to give them wedding photos? Can they get those tonight?
No, man, I like my private life private, but I'm going to get drunk. I'll see you later. Peace out.
Right. Later, Sam.
Sammy P. 2 tequilas in. We talked to both of our degenerates today, and they both felt a little hammered. Both felt a little affected, at least.
They were both at places where normally you are enjoying some libations as you do your thing.
Woo! If you don't want to go back and check out those two interviews, Brandon Lang at a racetrack, Sammy P at a wedding. That's good stuff. That's what we need to do. We just need to tell them, wherever you go somewhere interesting. Just be somewhere, because that seems to get us even better. They're always great, but got us even better stuff. Presbyterian, he's saying it's 78.5, 79.5. ESPN.com, if you could please start putting the Presbyterian over-unders up on my computer. I want to see those. Trey, it says ESPN3, by the way. 6 o'clock tomorrow night?
It's very tempting tuning into that game for a little bit.
You can tune in. By the way, I thought I would just read this headline to you before we hit the break.
Here we go.
I pulled up Presbyterian, the Presbyterian Blue Hose on ESPN.com.
The Blue Hose.
They are the Blue Hose, H-O-S-E, right? Blue Sox. The headline is no punts, angry DMs, and the burning passion for football behind Presbyterian's Kevin Kelly.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the title.
We need to try and get this guy on the show.
That's the title. Again, realize who this guy is, right? No punts, all onside kicks. He is Mr. Anti-Football. They have won 84-43 and 68-3. They lost 72-0. They lost 63-43, and they just lost 38-30. He does not care.
How were they so low on that 38-30 game?
I don't know.
Be fascinated to go check that one out. Must have been a bunch of field goals taken, some made, some missed.
Must have been. Yeah, I wonder if he kicks field goals. Does he kick those? I know he doesn't like kicking, so does he kick field goals?
I'm guessing no.
I don't know. Does he even have a kicker? I have no idea. All right, thanks to Sammy P for his time. Up next, before we get out of here, a couple of stems and seeds as we get you ready for the weekend, including the Longhorns and Oklahoma State. And if you missed the big trade in the NFL today, we'll let you know who is going to the only undefeated team in the league on the horn.
Yeah. Yeah. Shirts and skins.
Yeah. And I heard him say, nothing's ever promised tomorrow today. From the shy like Tim, it's a harder way. So this is in the name of love, like Robert say. Before you ask me to go.
Isaiah Collier, producer for us today. Always a great mix of music from Isaiah. Kanye?
Yep.
Yeah?
I have not listened to a ton of Kanye.
Adam Levine.
Oh, is that right? Oh, please let
You'll hear him in a second.
Let me hear what that conversation sounds like. My God. I don't even care what they talk about. Any subject, gentlemen, I'm going to be quiet. Oh, there he is. Hang on. Go ahead, Adam. And I heard him say, nothing's ever promised tomorrow today. But we'll find a way. I'm going to tell you what. That's kind of like taking, when they're both good, they're both really catchy. And you combine them, that's like a catchy weapon. That's like a catchy machine gun is what that is.
Yeah, this is a hit. I'm not going to lie. I wasn't digging this when it came out, but it's grown on me over the years.
This could go on your driving list right here.
Oh, yeah, easy.
Good easy cruising kind of song. What's the title?
This is Heard 'Em Say.
Heard 'Em Say. Kanye with a little Adam Levine. Man, oh, man. I would love the scene. Okay, now remind me. I don't keep up with all the rumors and everything. Kanye and Kim, together, not together?
See, that's the thing. Nobody knows because they've been doing different. Like, I feel like it's a publicity stunt because we know the Kardashians, Kris Jenner, she's all about making that paper. So yeah. They got a divorce, yet Kim was at all of his album release parties at Mercedes-Benz Stadium and Soldier Field and stuff. And they did a little fake wedding at Soldier Field. So I don't know what's going on.
And Kim made references to him at SNL, but I couldn't tell if she was saying he was her current husband, her former husband, just the father of the children. I couldn't figure it out.
I'll make it real simple for y'all.
Okay.
Kanye is asexual. Could he be married to Kim? Sure. But they're not in some sort of loving, committed sexual relationship.
Okay.
Have you listened to Kanye talk in the last few years? Kanye lives on another planet.
He's kind of in another
other
place.
Than Earth.
I would love to be in the room. If they were going to do the collaboration, if Kim had never been in a room with Adam Levine, I would have loved to have seen the look on Kanye's face when Adam Levine walks in the room, because you know he's looking at his wife. I would. Trust me, if Adam Levine walks in a room where me and my wife are hanging out, I am looking at my wife. I'm going to try to figure out exactly what my wife's thinking at that moment.
So that's an older song. I don't think Kanye was dating Kim when this song was
made. Oh, that was way back.
Yeah, that was way back.
That's a way back. Okay, fair enough.
15-some years
ago. I got you. Okay. All right, before we get out of here, we got a couple stems and seeds for you, including baseball. Here we go. No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks. Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, avconsultations.com. Shout out to Tom McKay of AV Consultations. Hockey fan, hockey season getting going. We talked to him in the first hour today. Last night, the Dodgers finished off the Giants 2-1. They advanced to the NLCS, and Trey, a check swing call ended the game. Max Scherzer got a call. It was awful. I'll admit I'm rooting for the Giants to win it, but that's a bad, bad call.
Why didn't they review it?
You can't review a check swing.
I'm sorry, what?
You can't review a check swing.
That is one of those things that is very reviewable and should be reviewable if you're actually going to implement that technology.
Dude, to me it was umpire 101 that he didn't even come close to going around. And it was an 0-2 count, so it goes to 1-2. Let Max Scherzer throw a 1-2 pitch. He did exactly what he wanted on that pitch. He got the guy to fish a little bit, but he didn't fully fish. These are major league, big-time hitters.
So the bat from the camera angle from the first base dugout, I'm guessing, it didn't go across?
Nope, not even close. You never saw the end of that bat. Never saw the end of that bat.
That should be a reviewable play.
That one is tough. It's going to be Dodgers and Braves tomorrow at 7 o'clock on TBS. Astros fans, you crank up tonight. Framber Valdez going for the Stros. That is a 7 o'clock on Fox. They'll go 3:20 tomorrow. Remember, with all your football going on, Astros game 2 is tomorrow. And, Trey, maybe bad news on Lance McCullers. He may be out this whole series. They don't think it's bad long term, but this series, they may not have Lance McCullers at all.
Uh-oh.
They were hoping to have him in game 3, but right now they're thinking he might have to miss this whole series.
What's the injury?
He had some just kind of soreness. I'm going to say maybe elbow soreness.
And he was their game 1 starter.
He would have been if everything worked out.
Well, I'm saying he was their game 1 starter for the DS.
Yes, correct. Yeah. He had just pitched, remember, in this last game. Mm. So they were hoping to get him back for game 3. They won't get him back now.
Sorry, Astros fans.
Big deal in the NFL today is Zach Ertz going to Arizona. because they need another weapon, right? The Eagles get a cornerback and a fifth-round pick going the other way. All right, thanks to Isaiah Collier for producing today. We appreciate it. Hopefully, he's helped us make better picks, but hopefully we've picked better than him so we both don't have to have a mohawk at some point. RBKD is coming up next. Rod and Kevin getting you ready for Texas and Oklahoma State. Have a great weekend. See you.